You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 15th, 2020, and please won't you be my villager.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I am George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games, and we're broadcasting live from my island of Roanoke, Animal Crossing. What's up, villagers?
What's up, villagers? Mash that like and subscribe. Hit that bell, and I mean real bells. I need money.
Yes, exactly right. Bring me those bells. We're talking about Animal Crossing again. I know. We talked a little bit about last week. In the context of patience, this is a bit more of a more thorough debrief. I feel like it's time to just, you know, put some of my chips on the table that I've carefully crafted out of wood that has been harvested over several days.
Take them out of your storage locker.
And talk a little bit about my overall thoughts about the state of Animal Crossing. Where should we start?
I haven't put as much time in the game as you have, but this is the first Animal Crossing I've ever spent any significant time with. How about you?
Oh, yes, absolutely, 100%.
It makes me wish that I had played the original GameCube one, because I have a sense, I now have a sense, having spent significant time with it, I have a sense of why this captured people's imaginations.
Yes, I would agree with
that. Especially in the year, whatever, 2003 or whenever the first Animal Crossing came out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, do you think that you can understand why it's capturing people's imagination now?
I think the allure is pretty similar, where you have you have a clockwork world, and it's cool to see the little pieces and how they interact. And also, I think similar to when the game came out the first time, it came out in an environment where people just needed to get the fuck out of the real world for a minute.
Yep,
for sure. I mean, think about, like, I should look up when the first Animal Crossing came out, but we've lived through that era as well, you know, the post 9/11 era into the Iraq War era, and
into like what, fucked. Three financial crises within our lifetime. Yeah,
exactly. And now here we are again, you know, some 20 years later, and it's similarly, man, the world kind of sucks right now. And there's an allure to going into a clockwork world where the whole point is to have pleasant interactions with others and have some low stakes amusement.
Yeah. There's also a certain pleasure that you can get from small actions that build towards positive reinforcement, right?
Like
when you go to catch a fish in Animal Crossing, you catch it and you celebrate it and hey, you did it. And there's a fish and you can sell that fish for bells and use those bells to buy other products. Or you can donate that to a museum and your experience is cataloged. And I think in that way, the game showcases your accomplishments in a way that a lot of other games will do momentarily, right?
Yeah.
If I showed someone a late game JRPG character or something, they might not fully understand the experience that I've been through to get to this point.
Yes.
You know, you don't literally wear it in your clothes or on the face of that island. And it's not something that is as easily shared in a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I certainly understand the appeal to that end. I mean, I was a fan of the Harvest Moon series, you know, and I was a fan, maybe not as intensely as others, but I think I found some joy in playing Stardew Valley, which is similarly a small scale, I don't know, life simulator, for lack of a better word. And those games tick those same boxes. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I can get why people like this game, but I don't think I like this game.
when did you know that you were not having a good time with this game?
Yeah, I think I knew when I had gone to visit another friend's island, and it was beautiful, and they had this, you know, like this beautiful picket fence. They had a zone that was just like a garden, and they had, you know, they had set up tents, and they had set up like chairs for their neighbors, and there was like multiple picnic areas, and they had like an acoustic guitar, and everything was very well decorated. And I went back to my island, and it was just the doldrums. It was like just a bad neighborhood, you know. I was getting like shanked on my way out of the airport, and I realized how much time and effort it would take to make the game what I wanted, right? Like we talked about last week, how really the thing that brings me the most joy in the game is building out that museum and knowing that the experience that a lot of people get is decorating their island and how long it will take to find those things and how much hustle I have to do in order to get them made me feel like I was going to be spinning my wheels for so long for very minor things, right? Because I think that the joy that these games bring to some people with that sort of immediate sense of satisfaction of reward for some of the small things that you do, I don't think it's good enough for me. And maybe that's my fault, but I feel like the thing that I want to showcase or the thing that I want to be rewarded with is a bigger accomplishment that takes much, much longer, right? It's finishing my museum. It's finishing a skeleton piece. It's decorating my house in exactly the way that I want it to be decorated and then opening the gates for people to come and finish, right? I'm almost like maybe I'm a bit of a perfectionist or something with how I want my island to be displayed, but it's just very daunting to know that I have to trudge through so much stuff I find not enjoyable to eventually get to something that might give me that sense of satisfaction, you know?
I wonder if part of the popularity of Animal Crossing changed in the social media world, because Animal Crossing 1 was pre everything. You know, it was pre Facebook, it was pre YouTube, all of that stuff, where it was harder to share this sort of stuff. I mean, you could definitely do it, but it was just not as there wasn't as much keeping up with the Joneses. It was more about appreciating the world inside of the game.
I mean, going back to the discussion last week about turnips, right? There's also this sense that if you are not participating and actively sort of hustling with your friends, that you're setting yourself behind, right?
Yeah.
The turnip thing where people are sharing the time zones about when these turnips are available. Or at one point, my coworkers set up a cherry blossom like chat conversation because some people had certain items and some people had others and they wanted to trade and swap and collect them all. So it was like, okay, well, what do you want? Here's what I have. Let's figure out a way of trading. I'll send you cherry blossoms if you just send me the finished product and we can sort of orchestrate this swapping of goods, right?
Yeah.
And we discovered last night before recording, there's a website called Nookazon where you can find random people on the internet and literally trade for any good, including other villagers. I don't know how that works. That's crazy, right? So there's this interconnectedness, and maybe it's existed for a while and I just didn't know about it from the other Animal Crossing games, but it feels as though the real game of Animal Crossing isn't actually played just doing my own thing. You know, no matter how much I hear, oh, this is a game that rewards you taking your time and you're just laying back and relaxing and fishing.
Yeah.
That does not jive with the story that I see in my friends groups and on social media where it's hustle, hustle, hustle. You know, maximize your profit, maximize your fishing game, participate in this event before it's too late because that's your last chance to get that one item and then it's gone, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure and demand and that just doesn't jive with, to me, the Zen sort of comments I've had about what this game actually is. You know, the fact that people are trading villagers, isn't that kind of antithetical to the very idea that this is a small like slice of life game where you just have some random friendly neighbors and you say hi every morning? Like those two things aren't really compatible to me. You can either have one experience or the other, and I would want something somewhere in the middle.
There's some, one of my neighbors is trying to trade me out of the neighborhood. I just know it.
I'm sure, dude. Yeah.
I'm worth so many bills to them.
Oh, man. If I could trade my upstairs neighbor, oh, trust me.
I think the... I even noticed myself getting into it, even on day one of me playing it, where you can do relatively little on day one. You know, you get your tent set up, you know, catch a few mm-hmm. bugs, whatever. I immediately went into the Nook Miles app. I got myself onto Nook Link Plus so I can grind out some more Nook Miles. Because I just wanted to start checking things off the list. Like, okay, mm-hmm. here's mm-hmm. some more points here. Here's some more points there. I immediately opened up and expanded my inventory with Nook Miles on day one.
Which I had forgotten to do for weeks. Oh,
terrible. That must have been a horrible experience because that whole extra row of items is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself immediately going into the min-max kind of approach to everything and have had to purposefully slow myself down so as not to burn myself out on the game.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you think that the game wants you to do that? Like, how does this want to be played, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting because it feels like, especially when it comes to Nintendo games, they tend to have a point of view of what is the correct way of playing them.
Right.
To the point of even, I mean, so many Nintendo games, most recently, even Ring Fit Plus, like, hey, you know, it's okay, bro. You can take a break. It's just fine. Every single one of their games has kind of a cadence at which they remind you, to the point where even something like Breath of the Wild never reminds you, where it's like, mm-hmm. this is a game to get lost in, strap in and go. And yep. then other games every 5 minutes are kind of asking, yeah, don't worry, this is a game that you should play in chunks. And so I haven't really thought about it that much, but I do feel like even the idea that, okay, I upgraded my house, but my house isn't even going to be upgraded until I check back in tomorrow. You know, you can't right. just mainline this game. It seems like it is meant to be played. It's meant to be played every single day, but not for that long every single day.
Like an hour a day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to your point, I don't know if that is conducive to the current way in which people play games, which I feel like is heavily skewed towards min-maxing things.
Well, and also, do you think that's how the majority of the people that are in our age group that are playing Animal Crossing play it and want to play it?
Yeah.
Because my question is, it's kind of like when we think about how Wizards of the Coast talks about the singles market for Magic, right? They allegedly don't acknowledge it, but we all know that they acknowledge it, right? To what degree is Amazon, to what degree is Nintendo aware that this Nookazon thing exists,
yeah. right?
That people are finding ways of exploiting the turnip market. Like, surely they know, right? The point of the whole turnip system, like, let's imagine a world where there is no online functionality, and there might as well not be, as far as I'm concerned, where the turnips that you buy, you must sell on your very own island, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could understand that the reason they want you to experience that is so that it rewards you checking in, you know, just log in a couple times during the day, see where the turnip prices are at, make a sale. It's not something where people are trying to figure out who on the internet, some random person I don't know, has optimal prices so that I can go visit them and sell my turnips to maximize my profit, right? That type of experience wasn't built into the game. If it was, Nookazon would just be a built-in app, you know?
Yeah.
In the same way that the internet community solved for shortcomings in Destiny 2's multiplayer matchmaking system, I think a lot of players are solving for problems or creating solutions to Animal Crossing dilemmas in order to get out of the game what they want, right? Which is, I want everything. I want all the cherry blossom shit. I don't want half of them, and I'll be satisfied because, hey, you know what? I did my best. I got my random luck roll, right? I want to hustle to get everything so that I can decide what I want my island to be, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know if that game of hustling and maximizing in order to get the thing that I want, is the type of game that I want to play, right? And I get it if people want to play that, but to some extent I want to understand and reflect that, like, that is not the game that Nintendo is providing. Or are they? You know, is this something that they know that they're providing and the community will solve for and they build for?
That would be more depressing to me, because that would just seem that would seem disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game is packaged up in this very laid back, quaint, almost kitschy, cute style, but right. underneath the surface, and if you start Googling around, there's these very Wolf of Wall Street style websites that are
literal Wolf of Wall Street
that are dedicated to populating the islands with wolves and having them harvest all of the cherry blossoms or whatever,
right?
And so it feels like if they knew that was going to be an outcome in the community, it feels disingenuous to build your game in game with the rhetoric that they've built it with,
right?
Because then you're just outsourcing the dark side of your game to the internet, but you're the one causing it. It's just you're not taking responsibility for it in game.
So my question is, let's say people are enjoying Animal Crossing because they're able to do all of these things and they're working with their friends to get all the cherry blossom stuff and they're trading off their wolf islanders because they want to get 7 frog islanders or whatever, right? Yeah. How much credit can we give to Nintendo for building that versus players making it what they want? And is that the same thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess at the most basic level, we can analyze whether this is a good framework for that, because they had to make, Nintendo had to make the game. They had to put the game together, and are the component pieces a good framework for that emergent community that's being built up around them?
Right.
And I think, my take is there are some parts that I think are effective. I think, the kind of tone and pace and aesthetic are probably are effective in creating the tone of the type of community you want to build versus,
for sure. Yep.
Explicitly competitive or something like that.
I also really love the sense of celebrating nature in the game. You find bugs and you collect them, and they're based on, they're actual bugs. The dinosaur fossils are actual dinosaur fossils.
Yeah.
The museum is actually a competently put together museum
yes.
that traces the path of evolution across species. It's fascinating and very rewarding to look at.
Yeah. So I think there is credit to be given there, but within the same game, there's this entire morass of baffling UI choices and really weird explanations of how to handle certain mechanics and, strange timing things that make the game hard to play for people that aren't on a very specific type of schedule and a very specific type of lifestyle that you can't overlook. And I would be willing to put them down as just straight up flaws of the game. There's not much of a, it's hard to defend Animal Crossing in the same way that one could defend, whether you like it or not. I think the item degradation in Breath of the Wild is way more defensible than the item degradation in Animal Crossing.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
And so you can't, and I don't think you can overlook that.
Yeah.
Did we talk about what last week?
The degradation in Breath of the Wild.
We talked a little bit about it, or we talked about the weather, basically.
Yeah.
But the degradation is another thing, because I and I'm playing both games simultaneously, and I was thinking about it as, one of my best swords broke in Breath of the Wild, and then one of my, shovels broke or something in Animal Crossing, and thinking about the different feelings that both of those identical scenarios elicited in me, because in Animal Crossing, that's not really the challenge. I mean, I had plenty of things to craft another shovel. It was just a speed bump. It was just something to slow me down versus something to provide an interesting problem for me to deal with.
It's like if I'm painting my house, right?
And it's then like, you already fucked up.
Well, like I'm painting my house and I'm getting to the part where it's like, oh man, how am I going to paint the corner?
Yeah.
I got to figure this out. and then my fucking paintbrush breaks.
Yeah.
That's not an interesting challenge that is part of painting my house, you know?
Yes.
Painting the house is the challenge.
Right.
That is the interesting thing. That right. is the thing that I've chosen to spend my time on, no matter how laborious or uninteresting it may be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Not the brush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Animal Crossing, there is just a lot of stuff where there's things will break and there's a crafting system and all that stuff, but it doesn't, it's not like Minecraft where crafting is the whole point of the game. There's no, in Animal Crossing, there's not, the stakes are not in the crafting. And so it is more frustrating when you spend time doing that stuff because it's not seemingly, it's in my opinion, it's not really the point of the game. And so because you have to do so much of that busy work, you find yourself asking, well, now what am I missing out on? Should I be collecting these other things? Am I missing out on an event? You know, what should I be creating? Did I spend all of my, you know, good resources on this thing? And so I think that's kind of the darker side of the systems they've put into place.
I think the thing that's I'm struggling with is, you know, we play a lot of games every year. And there's a lot of different games that we enjoy or we criticize or we like for one reason or another. Control is a good example, right? Like, that's a game that you enjoyed much more than I enjoyed, yep. although I did enjoy it. I think that for me, this is the game that I am probably the most flabbergasted of the past decade of why people like it so much. Like, I just cannot comprehend why adults, especially those who play a lot of other video games.
Yeah.
How are they tapping into a level of unbridled joy that I can't access? You know, it's like, and I don't think it's because I've lost the sense of childlike wonder, you know,
yeah.
or I mean, maybe I'm taking the game too seriously. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to fix this in a way that's fixing me. Right. The only thing I can think of are ways to fix the game and make it better and not how do I
surely
change
it must not be me.
I mean, in a weird way, it's like EVE Online or something, right? Like I understand why some people might like this and I know that it's not for me and that's okay. I'm willing to step back and say Animal Crossing is not the game for me.
Yeah.
But yeah. I am shocked that it does seem to be the game for so many people. And part of me wonders, is it the shelter-in-place order that a lot of us are living in? Like, would everybody be as gung-ho about it? Are we approaching it because we've got rose-colored glasses? It just came out. It's still pretty fresh and brand new. There's not a whole lot of games competing against it. And it has a certain childlike charm, right? You made a pun in the beginning of the episode that calls back to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And no one in the right mind would criticize that show. It's a great show. But It is harder to criticize something that feels as though it's not made for you anyway, you know? But if that's the case, how is it then somehow made for everyone else in my fucking age demographic, you know?
I wonder if there's... the thing that is most confusing is that it is such a wide swath of people. It's people that are spending free time reading about and watching streams of video games and people that maybe play only one video game a year.
Yep.
Which is a pretty rare game, especially in the full $60 space.
Yeah.
I don't think you can overstate how important the whole societal context in which this game finds itself in is. I completely agree with you there.
I mean, this feels like it's closest to my experience with Pokemon Go, actually, you know, where everyone was out playing it, or I don't know. I mean, really any Pokemon game, I guess.
But yeah.
Pokemon Go is a good one, right? Where it had this mass appeal. It was really a conversation driver amongst groups of people that I didn't normally talk to about video games.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were surprised I wasn't liking it. And I was surprised that they liked it because I found it. There were so many issues that I had with the game and, you know, that's a very different style of game. So maybe it's apples and oranges here, both of which I have on my island, by the way. Hey,
at me if you need sweet you prices need on sweet oranges. Fruit.
Right. But like that, I just don't understand. It's just another moment where I feel like I don't understand how to get my head in their place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if, because for me, because I haven't played it for as long as you, I haven't gotten into the habit of going on the message boards or getting into the next level, higher game theory strategy of Animal Crossing. It really just has been half an hour here, half an hour there. Okay, the day's over. I'm going to pick this up again tomorrow. And I wonder if, I don't get a sense of, I don't actually know how many people are playing it like that versus really, getting extremely in depth with it.
I think that you are probably playing it the right way, but I think it, for me, it's kind of like a Pandora's box, you know?
Yeah.
Once you've opened up the portal that is the way that other people who are, I don't know, Animal Crossing tryhards play it, I can't close that lid again, you know?
Yeah.
I can't catch another fucking sea bass and think in my head, damn it. Like, I know my other friend caught a colocan and I'm missing that in my museum.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed I didn't catch that. How do I catch that? Oh, there's nothing. It's pure luck. Okay, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, right? Once that box is open, once I know, like, here's everything that you can have in this game and here's all the different ways you can decorate your house and all of the different, you know, things that you could do, that is the weight that's on my shoulders every time that I play this game. And I hear from quite a few people that, well, you know, just play the way that you're playing, right? Play short and play in brief increments, and eventually you'll get those things. And they just need you to play this so that you can continue to invest time into the game. But for me, if I had access to everything in this game, I would probably be spending more time with it because I would decorate my whole island. And then I would say, actually, you know what? I wonder how it would look like with this, you know, and I'll theme this out, right? Like, there's so much time saving stuff that this game could do to make it a quicker and more enjoyable experience for me. And the result would be a very different game, but it would be a game that I would actually want to play more of, not less, you know? And knowing that there are the bones of that game in this makes it almost impossible for me to ignore those shortcomings when I actually get in for even short 30-minute sessions.
I did feel the beginnings of that when this past weekend they had the Easter fishing event.
Oh, yeah, Easter event, yep.
I mean, the fishing thing's a whole other thing. Both of us were doing some research before we started the show, and someone was talking about this fishing event that happened over the past couple days, and both of us were like, what? Where was our invite?
Yeah, exactly, dude. And I love fishing.
Yes. I need another sea bass. I think I felt the first inklings of that, whatever it is, Animal Crossing FOMO or something, where I got stressed out kind of over the weekend. I was like, oh, I better go. I got to log in now because you know, the bunny's going to leave. The eggs, I got to see the eggs that everyone's mad about. Yeah. And then I made a point to kind of run around and look at the eggs real quick. And then, you know, time passed and now I guess it's over and you just kind of have to make peace with that. But it was a weird thing where it made me think about how this game, it feels like, works a lot better in a pre-internet society.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you don't know what your other people, you know, what the other players in the world are doing. The whole point is that you have this seemingly clockwork dynamic world and you're not comparing it to other people. You're just comparing it to your own experience.
Yeah, I think that's really good. The other thought, now that you frame it in that way, is the way that back in the day when you were playing Pokemon and you bring it over to a friend's house and you see what Pokemon they have and you see that they've caught something that you've never encountered before. And maybe it's unique to their copy. Maybe you're playing Pokemon Red and they're playing Pokemon Yellow. And it triggers that sense of wonder and excitement. Like, oh, you have access to this thing. Let's trade. Like, let's figure this out. Let's solve this. But it's a momentary spike in that that causes that sort of sense of elation and wonder when you see what's possible, right? I think in Animal Crossing, everything that's possible is immediately online for everyone to look at, right? Yeah. And for the people that hustle, they will always have more than you, you know? It's like if I bumped into you and I had one Pokemon you'd never seen and you had 50, you know? And it's because you had traded with all of your other friends already online and you'd figured that shit out and you orchestrated it and you set up a Discord server. Like, it's not capturing that same thing, but I can understand where maybe the origins of that comes from that place where as a kid, you could get the sense that, oh, this island is personalized and mine and special, not just because I've decorated it, but because the contents of it are unique. And if you come here, you may not see this again. Whereas now, thanks to the internet and thanks to the widespread conversation about Animal Crossing and the ability to, you know, really hustle and maximize all those cherry blossoms and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
It feels like that's just cracked wide open, and it has lost a sense of specialness.
Here's a theory. What if, I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to convince you to do this, but what if you keep playing to the point where we pass the initial spike of interest in this game? Mm-hmm. And what if you come back to this game in 9 to 12 months and actually start playing it every day? Do you think the interest in this game will die down? And two, do you think the interest in this game dying down will actually help alleviate some of the rat race that is happening on the internet around this thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would actually. Yeah. I think if it left the limelight, if there wasn't 10 articles about Animal Crossing that you see every day, if it wasn't a topic of conversation amongst all of my coworkers, I think it would help. I think, unfortunately, we live in the every game is a forever game world, right? Where come next Easter, we're going to see more shit again about how the Easter Bunny's back. Uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like, it's really easy for this to become a cyclical event-based game where that conversation spikes again whenever there's new stuff. And then it's time sensitive. And so you get its own rat race, right? Mm. You get this another timed window where if you want to get those Christmas stuff, you got to get it now because it's going to end December 26th, right? So I think that would be the risk. But I do think, like if I were to come back to this naturally, or if by some weird fluke I was just abandoned on a real island with Animal Crossing and there was no internet connection, I do think I would probably get more enjoyment out of it. I still would be frustrated with the needlessly long and excessive amounts of dialogue options that slow the game down. And I think I would still be frustrated with tools breaking and the artificial ways of increasing time spent in the game doing things that are unsatisfying. But in terms of actually building my island and being comfortable with the way that it looks, certainly.
One thing that shifted my mindset of this game, which, I mean, right now I'm kind of just, I feel like I'm uncharacteristically just lukewarm on this game, where it's like, oh, this is a fine thing. Honestly, the best time that I've had in this game so far is just seeing Sam get highly amused by the pole vaulting over a river. Like, that was just the most hilarious thing that he had ever seen. And so,
it's like, that's not how you cross rivers.
Yeah, it's like, come on, silly. But I mean, I think aside from just the little touches of charm, the thing that really reset my mind frame was I was flipping through the Critterpedia, and it was showing, wait, was it the Critterpedia or was it maybe it was one of the things about the flowers? I think it was Critterpedia, where it shows the time frame, where it's like, here's when you can see when you will most likely see this type of bug between the months of, you know, June and September or something,
right?
And it called back, it reframed my mindset to what I think the game is supposed to be about, which is long-term investment, where it's like, this game is assuming from day one that not only are you going to be playing this game for months, you're going to be playing this game for potentially years, because every year you're going to want to, you know, harvest the grasshoppers that only show up in the summer. Yeah. And so there was just a level of, okay, this is the sort of long stretched out timeline that the game probably is intending me to have at its core. It's just all the internet stuff is trying to compress that timeline. And when you compress the timeline, you start to see the cracks really easily. And so I just have been trying to balance those two things.
The long length of time is interesting though, because I think it makes the minute to minute frustrations with how slow some of the dialogue stuff is that much worse. Because my thought goes to, what are the elements in your real life that are similar investments, right? I mentioned painting the house, but you know, you're a homeowner. your home is nothing but a long-term year-over-year investment, right?
Hell yeah. Tom Nook, got to pay him every month.
And every year, you know, there are repairs that you need to make, and there's adjustments that you have to make to your house. Maybe you have to clean up the backyard or whatever, right? And those aren't necessarily things that are satisfying, but it feels as though you are making that slow progress, and you're choosing to be active in that engagement, right? You could let your house sit and get disgusting and get overgrown, but you're not going to. And so you take the actions that are required of you, and you reap the benefit. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, one thing that this sounds like a ludicrous fantasy of mine, but I would love to keep bees one day, right? And bees, that's something where it is a seasonal thing. You will harvest your honey, you know, maybe 3 times during the harvesting season, maybe more depending on the amount of bees that you have and how productive they are and access to flour and stuff. But other than that, you are spending time throughout the year maintaining and managing your bees. But everything that you do for that colony of bees contributes to that goal, right? There's no wasted time. There's no wasted effort. There might be effort spent bored. Like, you might find some things tedious. You know, sometimes you have to clean all the shit that is sticky with honey, you know, or you got to like, you know, you got to, maybe your hive like runs away and you got to buy more bees and you got to set it up and do all the like rinse, wash, repeat stuff. Right. It's okay to be boring there, but it has to feel as though the boring elements are contributing positively towards your actual goal. Mm. And there's just too many boring elements in Animal Crossing that don't feel productive, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And maybe they over-indexed and those boring elements are meant to slow you down, but they're arbitrary. They're not part of the pace of the game. There's something to enforce pace on a meta level.
Like, for example, the bug thing is a great thing that might be interesting to people, but there's no built-in calendar in the game that you can say, hey, remind me when the monarchs come back. You know, I can't say I'm going to build up a bunch of traps for these bugs so that I have them ready to go in June when they come back. You know,
yeah.
I can't have, you know, put an alert out. I guess maybe I could like alert all my friends. Hey, I'm looking for this bug. But there's not a way to sort of build towards that. Right. You just have to be on the ball. You just have to get the notice. And then you have to spend a bunch of time looking for this damn bug. Right. You cannot build towards it. It's something that you just have to be there and active and strike it rich and get lucky, you know?
that's the life of bugs, man. You just have to, that's the fast paced bug lifestyle that you're getting into when you start keeping bees.
I mean, unless you're just like a fucking hardcore hustler, you know, and like, I don't know, you trade on the online for the bug.
You can go to nookazon.com, which is a hilarious website.
Yeah.
I think I will probably keep playing this game just in that extremely, like, I don't think I'll ever have that huge mansion or whatever because I only play the game half an hour a day.
Right.
And so, but I don't know. Maybe it's a long form piece of criticism or something where in a year I'll see where I'm at.
I would be curious for sure. Yeah.
Because I also have kind of a built-in foil where Hannah really likes these types of games where she put so many hours into Stardew Valley and just, she, you know,
I would love to hear her thoughts, by the way, like in a couple weeks, once she's dived into Animal Crossing, especially after Stardew, which feels like, I don't know, significantly more robust than Animal Crossing.
I mean, it's systemically way denser than Animal Crossing. And she's already, you know, we played the game for about the same amount of time and, you know, she already has crafted way more stuff and kind of has a little system set up around basically the loop of the game. And so I'll have this built in, I'll have the casual experience and then I'll have the hardcore experience and be able to compare them kind of more easily. And so we'll see how that plays itself out and whether she burns out and, you know, I'll be able to just kind of blissfully be ignorant and play the game every once in a while.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to be loud and public about it and be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to bother anymore. You know,
you say that until they get, you know, what do you think they're going to do for Christmas? There's going to be penguins there or something like,
okay, well, penguins, man. I mean, that's a whole nother deal.
There's going to be a Lunar New Year thing next year. I mean, they're going to pull us in with all sorts of
I mean, honestly, sometimes it really is difficult to stick to your guns and just say, fine, you know what? It isn't for me. I get that. I'm not going to fucking touch it. When everybody else is like, this is a join the social experience, you know, like participate, come visit my island.
I moved to an island because I didn't want to see people.
Yeah, man. Like, no one got the memo. Come on.
Fascinating game. I am equally so because of the game, but also because of the reaction to the game, which is just all the more wild to see.
I bet you there was a listener out there before the game even came out who was thinking to themselves, I bet you George is going to fucking hate this game. You know?
I could have saved him a lot of time.
One, you should have emailed me and warned me. And two, you were right. You know? You were right.
You nailed it.
You nailed it.
All right. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. Come on down, bring your friends, bring your villagers. You listen to some old podcasts, leave us a review, iTunes, Stitcher. You know where to find us.
Bring that fruit that I can't grow on my island. I have peaches coming out the wazoo, but
also, tell me what the next game is I'm going to hate so you can save me some time, guys. Jesus.
Be like a time traveler and warn me.
Yeah. I mean, someone help me out here. There's only so many games I can play. You know, I put down Fire Emblem Three Houses for this.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.